Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian Jacqueline Marfuji talks about her family from New Jersey and getting some bad news. Repeatedly.
I get a text from my cousin Mimi, and she says, "Oh my God, can you believe what happened to Billy?" And I'm like, that's weird. So I write back, "No, what's up?" And dead silence.
Have you ever gotten the call? We all have. Today on Storyworthy, comedian Jacqueline Marfuji brings forth the topic, sudden death. Stick around.
Hey, it's Jacqueline Marfuji, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I am coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Now, I'm so glad you guys tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week from writer Christopher Brune Horan. And the title of that story was My Life Took an Unexpected Turn. And man, oh man, it is a fascinating story. Really, you guys have to go back and listen to Christopher Brune Horan talk about creating a family and then having a really tragic thing happen. So you guys got to go back and listen. It's really good. But not today, because today I'm here with the lovely and talented Jacqueline Marfuji, and she is from the What's Your Jersey podcast. What's Your Jersey podcast? And, you know, I almost wore my Steelers jersey today for you. Because I do have some Steelers memorabilia from a long time ago when I cared about football.
Wow.
it's been some time.
Antonio Brown got me a lot of points on my fantasy league about 2 years ago. So I respect that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that's good. Is he a player for the Steelers?
Oh, wow. Wow, Christine.
I'm going to shoot myself in the foot, right? Hey, listen. Okay. That's a whole other story. But I'm so excited that you're here today. And Jacqueline brings forth the topic, sudden loss. And, you know, you read that and you think, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be heavy. And I guess it is. I guess it is heavy. I have had some sudden loss, but not super close to me. You know, the close deaths that I've experienced have been, you know, my father passing away from heart disease at 81, and my cousin recently passed away, but
I'm sorry.
He'd been battling cancer for 7 years. So the idea of a sudden loss, like sometimes when I hear like about an airplane crash or you pass an accident on the freeway and you think like, oh, shit, man, somebody is having a bad day.
Right. But that's usually it's not when you're having a bad day. And that's the kind of the point of the story is when sudden loss happens when you're going about your day and you're having a good day.
Yeah. Now, when you check Twitter, it's kind of like anything could happen.
At any moment.
Yeah, because you could tell me that there have been nuclear weapons fired from North Korea, and I would say, okay. Or you could tell me there was a mass shooting, you know, down the block, and I'd say, okay.
And you find out from Twitter. That's usually how you find out.
Yeah, but anything could happen because we're in such a state of turmoil.
Oh, for sure. Nothing shocks us.
But I know that you were talking about that show.
This Is Us.
That show, This Is Us. Now, they don't have a theme song, do they?
I don't think so.
So what was that a song? Was that?
No, I'm just annoying. Do you ever find when you're like doing Instagram videos and you're like, wow, I really sing every word. Like I should just talk like a normal human being and I can't help it.
You're adorable. No, listen, you bring up that show, This Is Us. And I did watch, I've only watched about four of them so far, but it's great. I mean, it's unique.
You only need to watch one to get the point.
Yeah. It's kind of like Parenthood on steroids.
Yeah.
If you remember that show, Parenthood.
I do.
Family drama.
A lot. But I like This Is Us because, you know, we're both comedians. I like comedy in my life.
Yeah.
And it's tragedy plus comedy.
And they also go through, you know, so many decades in different eras.
Which is
and
cool.
Really good acting, of course. And it's good. It's
and
really good.
They're huge Steelers fans on the show.
Yeah, I know, right? And they're also like Penguins fans and Pirates fans. Are they in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for some of it.
Why don't they have the accent?
Can you do the accent for me?
Well, get out. Get
out. Wait, is Yinz's?
No way.
Is that one?
It's just Yinz.
Yinz.
Jacqueline, get it right. If you need me to send you over to some sort of like a Pittsburghese website, I'm going to do that for you.
See, I have family in Pittsburgh. I actually got a message from a group of firefighters in Pittsburgh that love the What's Your Jersey podcast.
That is adorable.
I love that, which is very on brand with This Is Us, because the episode we're talking about, there's a huge fire in it.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, wow. So wait, so these guys, you're telling me firemen in Pittsburgh listen to What's Your Jersey?
Oh, yes.
And they're, because I've listened to What's Your Jersey, and I've heard like makeup tips.
Thank you.
And fashion tips and stuff like that. So what are you talking about? Why are firemen listening?
Well, I have a section called Just Enough with Jacqueline. It's basically like for you, you didn't know Antonio Brown played on the Steelers. So like I reveal either certain terms in sports or just a quick like, so you could talk sports with anyone for the week, you know.
I love that.
But I also, the point of What's Your Jersey is my jersey is New Jersey. That's where I'm from. So Christine, like you're from Pittsburgh. Your jersey is Pittsburgh. So I find out what you were like, what happened to you when you were little and how you got to where you are in your career.
Yeah.
And that's the point of it.
But
why are these firefighters listening?
why are the firefighters listening?
Because, you know, they love, it's a combo.
Because you're beautiful.
Thank you.
And you're combining sports and hot girls.
Sports.
Really, that's part of it.
Sports, hot girls, entertainment. I like to vary my guests, too.
Yeah, you do.
So it's not just like what reality shows are you watching this week? Right. Like it's more than that. You know, I've had professional football players. I've had casting directors. I've had writers, journalists, fashion designers, like everyone.
So you're saying like based on what their jersey is, is like that's their hometown. So that's where you can begin.
Exactly.
Yeah. That you can learn about, you know, like when you meet somebody, especially here in LA, where are you from? If they say St. Louis, Cleveland, you know, New Jersey, Newark, New York, then you already know a lot about them.
Oh, yeah. You kind of get it immediately. Like with you, when you said you were from Pittsburgh, I'm like, oh, she's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, she gets it. Like, you might be a little scrappy. Like, you're just, I don't know. You're like with it. I love East Coast people. But I find different stuff from everyone. The through line I found, though, is that people that are successful kind of just went with whatever people kept saying yes to career-wise. So, like, I had a professional football player that just wanted to be a basketball player, but that's not what he kept getting asked to do. And so we went with it.
Yeah, except that a lot of times it's, like, tenacity and staying with what you want to do, even if people tell you you shouldn't. You know what I mean? Like, you find that a lot with comedians. Like
with comedy, yes.
If you can do that, if you can do anything else, you should. You know, before trying to be a comedian, because it's the hardest. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's not necessarily going to be a good outcome.
No. No, there isn't. And it's hard because you have to put so much time and so much energy into something.
But
that
you're talking about more like the Malcolm Gladwell idea of things. Like, in other words, what you're good at gets perpetuated because you get to the next level.
Yeah.
Therefore, you're working with better coaches or better role models or better teachers.
Totally.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've just found that with a lot of people. Like, that's just been a through line, which is cool.
Okay, so you've got fans in Pittsburgh and the fire stations. Do you have any, like, EMT doctors we should know about?
You know what? I'm going to put that out there, and I will get back to you on that. That would be really great.
You need to have a calendar. Do you have a calendar? You could do a What's Your Jersey calendar, and it's you, Jacqueline, in all the different jerseys. Here's what's also cute about your podcast, by the way. You're not, like, in a bikini or anything.
No.
You're in just a cute jersey.
Yeah.
And you could do yourself on every month in a different jersey of the NFL.
Look at you.
And then get them out there to the fire stations. And, you know, boom, 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 we got ourselves.
Yeah. I am so not a model, though. They would open it and be like, who's this medium person?
Well, that's the best thing about you is nobody wants a model. Come on, don't you watch amateur porn? Hey, listen, we're supposed to be talking about sudden loss, so don't make me laugh.
I can't help it.
I'm kidding. Anyway, I am looking forward to hearing your story. But before we get into Jacqueline's story, I wanted to remind you guys to head over to storyworthypodcast.com. If you could do that, that'd be great. And I won't keep going on about it. I'll just say that. See? I stopped. And don't forget to subscribe to Storyworthy over there on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you guys listen to your podcasts. Here's one more thing I wanted to talk to you about. I got a new mattress recently, and let me just tell you something. It's called a Nectar mattress. Have you heard of this? The Nectar sleep mattress. It is such an amazing night's sleep. It's like, it's hard to explain it, okay? Because I've slept on like a lousy mattress for so long.
Yeah.
And finally, I got this new Nectar mattress, and it really has changed my life. Okay, first of all, the Nectar mattress is 11 inches deep. So yeah, bigger is better. Yeah, you heard me. And it utilizes this really unique 5-layer technology that no other mattress on the market has. You know why nobody else has this? Because Nectar doesn't share. Yeah, you heard me. They patented the most breathable, cooling, medical-grade Lush Foam Gel Memory Layer to bring you the most cloud-like comfort, and nobody can take that technology from them. It's amazing, and they have this forever warranty on your mattress. So, like, if you don't like it in 6 months, they'll pick it up and give you your money back. If you don't like it in a year, they'll pick it up and give you your money back. If you don't like it in 10 years, they'll pick it up and give you your money back. They mean it. It is a lifetime guarantee. So you guys have to check it out. The memory foam meets your body's contours and gives pressure point relief. I'm telling you, this is an amazing mattress.
It's worth it.
And check this out. Nectar sleepers actually fall asleep 20% faster than people who sleep on other mattresses. Isn't that the craziest thing? They did a study. I know. And right now, you guys, you can get $125 off and two free premium pillows with any mattress order, so any size, and you'll get free delivery. Just go to nectarsleep.com/storyworthy and you'll get the best sleep you have ever had for every night of the rest of your life. nectarsleep.com/storyworthy. nectarsleep.com/storyworthy, and you are going to get an amazing night's sleep. What do you think of that, Jacqueline? Exactly. All right, you guys, she's here right now. Not like you haven't been hearing her for the last 10 minutes, but that's the same girl. She's here, the same one, yeah. Jacqueline Marfuji, you guys. She's an actress and a comedian and a dance and fitness instructor. Jacqueline has appeared on Bravo, True TV, Fox, Sirius XM Radio, and currently recurring as Bethany on the Amazon series Altered Reality. She is also the host of the very popular What's Your Jersey podcast that is very, very popular indeed. And like we said on the show, she talks about not only sports, but dating and lots of girl talk and firefighter talk. You don't know. You can find Jacqueline over there on Twitter at Jacqueline Marfuji. I'm going to spell it out because that's how I am. JacqueLyneMarfuji. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Jacqueline Marfuji.
The story I originally was going to tell was about how I got accepted into basically the Sopranos acting class. Michael Imperioli, who played Christopher on The Sopranos, had a studio called Studio Dante, and it was the theater in New York City. So for the last year of The Sopranos series, I had auditioned for Michael and got into this class and ended up having all the cast members as my teachers, and cut to me hanging out with James Gandolfini, may he rest in peace, he's amazing, on my birthday and smoking cigars with him and doing many Jersey things. That's the story I was going to tell you guys. And then This Is Us happened this Sunday. So, point being, picture the Eagles. They just won their first Super Bowl. We just witnessed a very underwhelming halftime show by Justin Timberlake. Everyone's ready for the Super Bowl episode of This Is Us. I'm snuggling up. Now, I'm not a super fan. Like, I don't watch it religiously. If you've seen one episode, you know there's going to be some jokes. There's going to be family trauma. Something happens. You usually cry. But I thought I could handle this episode because Mandy Moore, who plays the mom, Becca Pearson, billed it as something that's the hardest watched episode of the series. Like, it's going to be a lot. But I was like, I can get it. I can handle it. Basically, we're going to find out how Jack Pearson, Milo Ventimiglia, I think that's how you say his name, I don't know, dies. Now, everyone thinks he dies in a fire. Not the case. It turns out during the episode, his death was actually a non-event and sudden. And that's something that struck a chord with me, because I've experienced over the past 3 years sudden loss, sudden death. And I've been very lucky to go my entire life without having to experience this. And this is something where I don't think it's scarier. I don't want to not give credit to, you know, someone who's been sick for a while and you getting to mourn the loss and say goodbye. But sudden death is definitely just a different experience. And the way that they depicted it in This Is Us is very true to actually how it happens in real life, where one second you're joking around with someone and you're going to the vending machine to get a candy bar for the two of you, and the next second a doctor is walking up to you going, your husband just died. And the reaction that I'm getting from Christine's face is exactly what Mandy Moore did on the episode. She just took a bite of the candy bar and was like, no, no, no. And just almost didn't even absorb it until she walked into the hospital room and saw her husband lying there. Sorry, spoiler alert, guys. I hope you've seen the episode by now. But point being is that sudden loss is kind of like an earthquake where there are certain rumblings in the beginning. You're usually like woken up out of a sleep and you're like, what's that? Is this happening? And then all of a sudden the earthquake hits and it happens. And then there's aftershocks, which is exactly what's happened to my family. So my parents have made it a tradition for the past 3 years to fly out to Los Angeles at the end of January after my dad works this big cheese convention. Yes, my dad is a CEO of a cheese company. And yes, I have a huge addiction to all the merchandise they sell. It's a problem. My brother and I left home, New Jersey, years ago to follow our dreams in LA. We're a very tight, close-knit family. But my dad and his big Italian family have always been the rock of everything. And we have a lot of family traditions. So anyway, my mom and my dad fly out here every January, end of January. And they had just gotten here. We were celebrating my brother's birthday and his recent promotion as a coach at UCLA. And we were in Santa Monica at a dinner. And my mom was catching us up. Picture my mom. She's kind of like a Carmela Soprano, but like more waspy and like girly. We call her Bomb. So she's telling us about this cousin's family dinner they're planning for next week in New York City. And she was like, I have to remember to text Uncle Billy back, who is organizing the whole thing. Remember. Anyway, we finished the dinner and I have to, and our family, big family dinners are a huge deal. Like I used to do a joke about first moving to LA and being broke and saying to my dad, okay, if I don't eat while we're out, can you just give me $200, which is what it would cost you for me anyway, and then we'll call it even. Like that's just our thing. We love red wine. And anyway, I said my goodbyes because I had to go work at a sports bar the next morning, which is like the kiss of death when your family's in town for me. It's the worst. But they were going to be doing fun beach things in Santa Monica. I was going to be working at a sports bar. And then I was going to meet them for this fabulous dinner at Capo by the beach. Now, Capo is a restaurant. The first time we walked in, Joe Torre, coach of the Yankees, was sitting at the bar eating meatballs. The last time we went for my mom's birthday, Al Pacino was at the table sitting next to us. Basically, you felt like you were at a table read for The Godfather 4. It's just one of those little Italian secret hidden restaurants in LA that you love. So I was very excited for this dinner. Anyway, walking up to work the next morning, I was flipping through Facebook just because that's what you do because you're not going to be able to use your phone for the next, you know, few hours at work. And I see my Uncle Billy had posted his infamous pictures in New Jersey when it snows. He posts this table on his back deck with like the amount of inches of snow and pictures of him with a snowblower. And I'm like, well, at least I'm not in Jersey. Man, that looks terrible. Just so you know, I absolutely hate snow to this day because of those. Anyway, I go into work and it just so happens it's also my best friend's birthday that day. And I was trying to figure out a way to tell her I'm not going to make it to her birthday dinner because when you're in my family, family comes first. That's just how the Marfugees roll. So I was trying to think of how to ditch her birthday dinner. And honestly, like she lives in Santa Monica. Like she moved there from West Hollywood. It's a kiss of death for any friendship in your 20s when it comes to living in LA. And I decided, okay, I'm going to post a picture of her on Instagram. So as I'm trying to find the perfect filter to really make my best friend happy because I'm ditching her that night to go to Capo, I get a text from my cousin Mimi. And she says, oh my God, can you believe what happened to Billy? And I'm like, that's weird. So I write back, no, what's up? And dead silence, get no response. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. So I text my brother. Hey, is everything okay with Uncle Billy? Dead silence, no response. Text my mom, text my dad. And I'm like, oh, well, they must be like out to eat or something. Like maybe that's why no one's responding to me. So then, I mean, the bar is pretty dead. And I'm kind of just joking around with my manager being like, oh God, like some big drama, some tragedy in the family. Like, oh, it's probably something stupid. And I asked to go make a phone call. I will never forget this phone call, standing in a urine-stenched stairwell at the bottom of the Parlor Hollywood, calling my mom and just hearing the words, Uncle Billy died. And it was just one of those things where it was so unbelievable. I just saw him posting on Facebook. Like he, and my Uncle Billy is someone that I think everyone has someone like him in their family where he was my uncle. It wasn't my dad, but he was always really supportive. Like my first heartbreak from a boyfriend, I went and stayed at his house. His daughter and his son are my age. Like I grew up with them. He would donate money to my rap parodies and was, you know, he was so supportive of our drunk sports series that we produced. Like he's just more energy in life in any room and always kept the family together. So we just didn't believe it because it just didn't make sense. And I started hysterically crying. My mom was like, your brother's coming to pick you up from work. That's it. And it was just awful. And it was one of those things that, like an earthquake, just was, I didn't believe it at first. And you get those first rumblings that come in and then it happens. And our family, honestly, is still feeling aftershocks from it to this day. Cut to last year, same time of year, the cheese convention happens. And we're like, Mom, Dad, like, are we really going to do this whole family vacation thing again? And they're like, no, we're doing it. That's it. So my dad decided to rent a house in Laurel Canyon because we were like, maybe we'll stay away from Santa Monica this year. You know, we're still devastated from the loss of Uncle Billy, but we're going to keep going. We're going to keep the tradition alive. So we are there. It's our second day again, hanging out. And my dad has to drive me down the hill because I have to go pick up the kids from school. Yes, I was Joey McIntyre's nanny from New Kids on the Block. And I had to go pick up the kids from school because I am a hustler. And yes, my parents might be in town, but yet again, I chose to work. Maybe I should stop working while my parents are in town. It's a bad omen. Anyway, we're saying goodbye. My mom is sitting out by the pool. It's beautiful. She's overlooking the hills. And I'm like, bye, Mom. She doesn't say anything. And she's on the phone. And I'm like, that's kind of weird. And we're halfway down the hill. And my dad was like, I think your mom got like a weird phone call. Like she just seemed off. And I call my mom Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yes, now I've dropped two nicknames, Bombshell and Stone Cold Steve Austin, because she shows no emotion whatsoever. And I decide to call her just to make sure everything's okay. She doesn't answer. I call again. Finally, she answers. I'm like, Mom, is everything okay? And all she says is, my mom died. And it was like, oh, not again. Like we had no idea she was sick. It was one of those out of the blue, like, how could this happen? I had just talked to her. Her birthday is the day before mine. So there was always a joke where I would call her on her birthday and she would never call me on mine because we would get the happy birthdays out. It was cute. She loved me. It's fine. but it was another thing where my parents were in town and I'm so grateful both of the sudden deaths happen when they did, silver lining, because my parents were with us and they weren't alone in New Jersey. But yet again, end of January trip, our family's rocked and we're spending the whole trip mourning the loss and reminiscing and crying. And it was just one of those things where you're going about your daily routine, you're laughing, you're planning, you're definitely sweating the small stuff. I'm sure I was worried about a boy not calling me back. Like, and your world just stops and you're not expecting it. So now it's January 2018. My brother and I are like, we're not doing a family vacation. It's not happening. We're like, maybe it's not the best idea you guys come out here this time. And I, with comedy, I'm like, you know, everything happens in threes, right? Like, we can't do this. And my dad's like, no, I'm getting a house, but we're going to do Mulholland. So he somehow was upgraded to this like bachelor-esque house. It was beautiful and huge and on top of the hill, the mountain, whatever. It was amazing. It's the second day we're there. I have to go to an audition in Brentwood. And I come back and it ends a little early. And my family knew I was coming back to the house. And I text them. No response. I call them. No response. And I'm finally, I pulled up to the house and there's a huge gated driveway. And I don't know the code to get in. So I'm calling, calling, calling. And at this point, I'm like, they know I'm very sensitive to this. Like, they better pick up the phone. No one's picking up their phone. So immediately my mind goes to like Charles Manson style murder. Like someone broke in. dual heart attacks. You know, they drove off a cliff on Mulholland by accident because they're not used to driving in the hills. And I start freaking out. I am losing my mind. I am climbing the walls. I am standing outside of my car just yelling, Mom, Dad, like worst case scenario. All of a sudden my phone rings and it's my mom. And she's just like, I'm sorry, honey. My phone was in my purse. Your dad's phone was in his pocket. We're at Bristol Farms. We're shopping. Do you want guacamole? And I was just like, no. And it was so, it was just one of those things that maybe I'm just really sensitive to now. Guys, we made it through our late January trip. The spell has been broken. But it's crazy because I, you know, always was expecting worst case scenario at this point. And I feel like if anything, with the sudden loss and the death, it prepares you to be appreciative of the people in your life. And if you could take anything away from this, and this is something I've taken away from it, is that, you know, if you want to go on a trip, book the trip. If your family wants to see you, and yeah, you have a lot going on because you know how it is. I do comedy. I also have to have side jobs. I teach fitness classes. It's a lot for me to leave LA and drop everything. But I last year went home almost every single month. I went to every event and every wedding, every whatever. Yeah. And yes, my bank account was very angry with me, but it's worth it. And it made me appreciate my parents more and appreciate the people I have. And I thank God, knock on wood, like I'm so grateful I haven't had that immediate loss yet. But experiencing that, it just humbles you and it makes you appreciate everything. So yeah, send the I love you text. Try not to go to bed angry. I know it's hard. Even right now, I have friendships right now where we're not talking and it's driving me insane because I'm like, what if something happens? You know, and it's scary to live your life that way.
You know, I think this is really interesting that you bring this up because this is very common, I think, this kind of anxiety where you're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
What happens is, in my understanding from therapy that I've had, is like if you have unresolved trauma, then you remain anxious. So it's almost like you have to travel back and it means that you didn't process, maybe you didn't process those deaths fully or they happened so close to one another.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to get to a point where you don't feel that anxiousness because otherwise you're going to live your life, you know,
constantly.
Just, yeah. And waiting. And also it's as if to say to yourself, and I'm not sure because of course I'm not any kind of therapist, but it's like if you are putting that energy out that you're anxious about something happening, then it's too, like, because that's not who you are. I mean,
no.
You know, you're very laid back, et cetera. You're just trying to say appreciate every day.
Yes, exactly.
And so, how did Uncle Billy die?
He had a heart attack.
So, and that was an unexpected heart attack.
Unexpected, yeah, totally.
And then, how did your grandmother die?
She had some apparent, I guess, complications with like Alzheimer's. It's a very long story, and that's a whole other podcast.
But that doesn't sound so sudden.
Well, we didn't know about it. We didn't know about it because my mom had been a little bit estranged from certain people in the family. When she got the call, I don't know, maybe I should have put this in there, but I felt like it would have been too long. When she got the call, we actually found out that her mom had passed away on like Thanksgiving.
Oh my gosh.
And
she passed away like weeks before.
Yeah, and had told. So it was like a double kind of like unexpected.
That is so much drama.
It was a lot. Well, my mom's side of the family is kind of like wasp it away, like put everything under the rug, like don't talk about things. And so it's a lot.
How long have you been out in Los Angeles in general?
I've been here for 10 years.
10 years. Yeah. I can't believe you go back so much. I mean, I hear what you're saying about like, you know, go back and spend the time with people, et cetera. But I have to say I've lived in LA for over 20 years and I do go back, but usually like every 3 years or every 2 years because this is my life now. And this, like my friends and this is the world I've built. I mean, that being said, I have an ex-husband, I have a child, I have a nephew and a sister-in-law. You know what I mean? So I do have kind of building a bit of a family here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in terms of like direct family. But my friends, like I would never even think about like, you know, I need to spend a holiday back there, because I mean that, yes, it's my family, but I feel like, so how does that work? You just,
that for me, especially recently. So I've been dating someone for a year and we met out here, but he's from New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And his family, like, he grew up in the town that my parents live in now. So it's been very convenient going back and forth and visiting.
Oh, that's amazing.
Families. And for me, I also New York City is right there. So yeah. I'll do like Sirius XM and I'll book shows and do stuff. So I always try to, you know.
Yeah, bookend it on something else or whatever.
So that's how I justify it, kind of.
Yeah, piggyback stuff to do. Yeah. That's so true. And with podcasting and stuff, you can do a lot of different kinds of shows no matter where you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I definitely, I think you kind of called it out in the right way, where I do need to like let go a little bit.
I don't care.
But still,
no, I'm just asking. Well, listen, no, it's just interesting because you're a different generation than me.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, when I was your age, like, I think I went back to Pittsburgh every Christmas for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, it never occurred to me not to go back for Christmas. Mm-hmm. It just didn't occur to me. I felt like I had to.
Yeah.
It's just, for some reason, there's this, it's really hard. It's kind of even though you're not from the Midwest, you're from the East Coast, I guess you'd say. It's still a Midwest values thing where we have a hard time separating, especially if you're the only one that left. But your brother came too.
My brother's here. We're very different walks of life, though.
How far apart in age are you guys?
We're 2.5 years. Mm. Yeah, he's a little younger, but he's always marched to the beat of his own drum. He left home at 13 to play for the U.S. Olympic team soccer. And
wow.
Yeah, like he went and played.
So he's super athletic.
Oh, yeah. Soccer professionally.
What's your favorite sport?
Football.
No, but to play.
To even football. Like, I love it. Foosball, if I'm really honest, but I don't know if you consider that a sport.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
People love that.
But I grew up, I mean, I never played football professionally or like was really in a league, but I grew up having to play it with my dad and my brother. And that's kind
so
of
interesting.
Yeah, where the love of that came from. I like kickball too.
I love kickball.
Kickball's good.
I like, I know what you're saying though, like ball sports in terms of like dodgeball, kickball, stuff like that. I always like racket sports.
Oh, yeah.
I love tennis, but then I also love like racquetball. I love ping pong. I love anything with a racket.
You have good hand-eye coordination.
I love hitting somebody over the head, you know.
It's perfect. So Jersey of you.
Hey, Jackie, you binge watch TV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Everybody does. Well, I got to tell you about a show that I cannot get enough of. It's called The Good Fight. And it's actually season 2 is just now starting. But season 1 was just like amazing. The first episode actually was called Inauguration. And it opens up with Diane Lockhart, who's played by Christine Baranski. I love her. She's glued to the television set watching Donald Trump take the oath of office to become the president. And then from there, it just continues to focus on the current political climate, but also the law firm. So it's just, they've got so many great aspects to this show. Like last year, one of the storylines was about like this Ponzi scheme. And another one I really liked was about, you know, about social media. Because that's, you know, these are all like new stories that have to be told. Anyway, season 2 has already started off just amazing. So right now, you guys, you can head over to cbs.com/storyworthy and you'll get a free trial of CBS All Access. That's cbs.com/storyworthy and you can binge watch season 1 and catch up on season 2 and you guys are gonna love it. Again, it's cbs.com/storyworthy for your free trial of CBS All Access and catch up on The Good Fight. Jacqueline, you gonna go watch that?
Yeah.
Yes, of course you're going to watch it. This is an amazing show. You got to do it. Okay, I have 3 things I want to talk to you about. On sudden death, you know, as we get older and when you look at pictures, I remember my dad, you know, now this is when he was 80, he would show me pictures and he'd say, "See this picture, honey?" And it'd be like him and his classmates from, you know, college or maybe, no, not even. It would be him and his tennis buddies or him and a group of friends. And he would point at the picture and he'd say, "See this? Dead, 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 dead." And he'd point out people because that's what happened. I guess what I'm saying is like, yes, it's jolting and it's shocking. But as we get older, it also is not, I think we're going to get more used to it, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the thing.
Or we're the one that's dying. And yeah, that wouldn't
or
be
it's
good
us.
Either.
So it prepares you. But that was the crazy thing is I thought I had put everything to rest and I thought I was okay with it. And after watching that episode, we were trying to go to bed and I still had tears streaming down my face. My boyfriend was trying to, he put Crashing on, he put all these different comedy shows on after, and it just rocked me. So I think you forget, and like you're like, death is a part of the cycle and a part of life, but then like something will remind you. You'll see a picture, you'll hear a story or a song.
I could hear a song or see a commercial. I mean, that's what they do. They just pull your heartstrings.
Yeah. No. You know? Even like a scent that you'll smell might remind you of someone you've lost, and you're right back there again.
But and part of that though is to show like that you're a good person, that you put your love out there. I mean, it sounds like, you know, hippy dip, you know, it sounds, you know,
no, but keep the point going. Is like, tell everyone I'm a good person.
It shows though that you care, you have a heart, you know, you loved and you lost. I mean, no, that you loved and you care enough to be mourning.
Oh, yeah,
it's just part of the grieving process. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I definitely, to a fault, I think, hold on to certain relationships and friendships. And I definitely get very, very affected when I lose someone from my life, which I know a lot of people do. I'm not saying...
You mean in terms of death or just lose a friendship?
Both.
Well, losing a friendship, that happens over life. You know, you have to accept that, you know, you will have your college friends and you have those friends and then those friends. And it's just different segments of your life.
Yeah.
And it keeps moving on. And family, like being your direct family, your brother and your mom and dad are really the only... Your uncle, you know, they're the only like really true family. Everybody else kind of comes and goes.
Oh, yeah.
It's strange. You never know when the last time you're going to see somebody.
And I'm learning to be better about that. It's all a work in progress.
I know.
Trying.
Listen, let's talk about being, going to a cheese convention. What is that like?
Oh, God. Cheese conventions.
I mean, this is just like you're using all the buzzwords. This is fabulous.
I'm like, are you lactose intolerant or vegan? On?
No, I'm excited.
You basically just get to walk around all day and just eat pizza and try cheese. It's awesome. I'm actually hosting, they're doing a cheese importers dinner. My dad's the president of this cheese thing in New Jersey in March.
Amazing.
And yeah, we have comedians and I do jokes about food and being Italian. So I'm really excited for it because it's going to be, it's like the toughest audience. It's like a room full of cheese people. So I better like step it up.
Why would that be a hard audience?
You're right, actually.
And you can always just say, you know, who cut the cheese? That sounds like an interesting gig.
Oh, yeah. It should be fun.
Has your dad always been in the cheese business?
He's always been in the food industry.
Yeah.
Whether it's been olive oil, pasta, like we just grew up with it.
That's so Italian. I love that.
I know. We're very on brand with ourselves.
So he's the CEO of, what's the name of the company?
It's Locatelli or Ambriola. It's Arricchio. It's, yeah, there's all different names. But
so, okay, top three cheeses. Just go.
Well, my favorite, they do Parmigiano Reggiano, and that one's just great on everything. You can eat it alone.
What's the Reggiano part?
I don't even know.
I mean, I know Parmesan,
that.
Right?
Again, Christine, I know just enough about certain
okay,
things.
Okay, go ahead. Number two.
I love burrata.
What's that?
It's, you know, like fresh mozzarella.
Yeah, I love that.
So fresh mozzarella, I guess, would be my favorite. Actually, I'm lying. Fresh mozzarella is my absolute favorite. Like, if I was on my electric chair last meal, it would be fresh mozzarella with like a bolognese sauce on the side.
Wow.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
All good. So fresh mozzarella, then Parmigiano Reggiano, and then burrata is like a milkier, like, sack of like creamier fresh mozzarella.
Dirty.
It's right.
Wow.
It does look kind of dirty.
And what is... And then you used to be a nanny. Do you still nanny?
Yeah, I don't do it anymore. I kind of like fell into it randomly and it taught me a lot. I nannied for three kids.
Taught you about?
Just not wanting kids at the moment.
Yeah. No kidding.
And it also taught me, and I've always been like this because I've never been like really girly. I've never been like, oh, I can't wait for my wedding or like, I want babies. It taught me that you really have to talk to kids like they're adults and like they get it more and they listen to you more. And like yelling and screaming doesn't always work. That's what I learned.
It just depends. It's so hard. It depends on who it's coming from, you know?
Like
if I try to help my daughter with her math homework, it's just a fight. That's all that's going to happen is we're going to fight. We can't work together. I don't know how to do it. She doesn't know how to, we don't know how to work together. But I say, you know what? I'm not a teacher. So why should I know how to do this? So I hire a tutor. He comes and they talk like they're friends. And
that's
so
crazy.
I'm like, well, why can't I do that? So it just depends, I think, on the relationship and who's, you know, in other words, talking to a child. Who is the child talking to? They're going to fight with a parent no matter what. That's just what children do.
I also was trying to write jokes about it. How, like, taking care of kids or dealing with kids is a lot like dealing with a boyfriend. Like, if you're not getting what you want, like, you take away something they love.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Constantly feed them and keep them happy with food.
Yeah, it definitely takes your time to have children. There's absolutely no hurry there.
Yeah, I'm good for a little bit. But good, it was a cool experience because I was on set. They were filming a scripted comedy show.
Oh, I see.
So I got to sit in, you know, like Video Village and listen to the directors and kind of be on the other side of it, because we're always, you know, performing and you don't get to sit there. So I got to watch take after take and see like what they liked, what the directions were after. So that was really cool.
So all three kids were on the show?
Yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting... Why would that be? How did that happen?
It was a scripted comedy about... loosely based on their life.
Oh, on that family. Yes. I see.
Yes.
So. And you are part of the posse. You're the babysitter. Yeah. You're the nanny over there.
Yeah. And it was crazy because every day you'd walk in and there would be like an NSYNC member sitting at the dining room table and I would be like fangirling out. Like, it was so weird.
That's adorable. That must have been really fun. No kidding.
Yeah.
And also, okay, let me ask you one more thing about what's your jersey.
Yeah.
What's your jersey? Does that also mean what's your, like, I'm going right to shirt. What's your jersey? Is it also like, what's your jersey? Like, where are you from? Like, what's your, like, New Jersey? Does it have to do with New Jersey?
It does in a sense, because that's my jersey and that's kind of what the idea came from. But it's totally about where you're from.
But it's, there is no New Jersey football team. It's New York.
I know. Isn't that insane? But it's the New York Giants. Their stadium's in Jersey. So that's it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
I grew up, we had season tickets. So I grew up.
Oh, that was nice.
Going
when you're
to,
in the cheese industry, you get those sorts of perks. I mean, that's what I'm
saying.
Again,
disclaimer, all the cool shit I'm talking about with the family, I can't afford any of that. But, you know.
Well, you know the right people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. What's a drug sports series? What's that?
Drunk Sports. So
Drunk Sports.
Yeah. So it was kind of like Drunk History on Comedy Central, only about sports. So we would get a past guest, Rachel O'Brien, was one of the hosts with me, and then two other comics. And we would bring on comedians. We'd watch Monday Night Football and they would drink and then we would recap it and just pandemonium would happen. It was really fun and cool. And
exactly. And then did that get podcast?
That was a lot. We taped it. Like, it was a fast turnaround. We would watch the Monday Night Football game. Our directors, editors, they would edit it, and we would have it out by Thursday.
Out on what? YouTube.
YouTube. It was a YouTube
great.
Thing.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, I could see that. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming today. And I'll tell you, the whole sudden death thing wasn't nearly as, you know, depressing as I thought.
Right?
No.
It's, I mean...
You know, if it's going to happen, well...
It is what it is, guys. Or you know what my family likes to say?
Marfuji.
Yeah, what the Marfugis and the Caprio say. They go, "Che cazzo." And that means what the fuck in Italian.
Che cazzo.
So you say, "Che cazzo." And it's...
Che cazzo.
Che cazzo.
Okay.
You say, "Che cazzo." And you're like, well, what the fuck? That happened. And you gotta make the best of it, and you gotta celebrate life. And
well,
that's...
you have a great attitude, and Los Angeles is lucky to have you.
Oh, girl.
All right, you guys. I gotta wrap it up right about now. I wanna thank you so much for tuning in today. Let Jacqueline know that you liked her story on Twitter over there at Jacqueline Marfuji, and of course, follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. And join us next week on Storyworthy for writer-producer Nancy Halla from the This Is 50 podcast with Sherry and Nancy.
He said to me, "If I get into the Naval Academy, I'm going." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "I want to be part of something bigger than myself." Those were his exact words at 18 years old. I mean, you cannot argue with that.
Don't miss Nancy Halla next week on Storyworthy. All right, you guys, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez and everybody on the Wondery team. There's a team. Jacqueline.
Well, you're important. I mean, you better have a great team working for you.
That's what I'm saying. And a huge thank you today to all the sponsors on the show. Really, you guys, when you check out my sponsors, you're supporting me and you're supporting Storyworthy, and I need that. And I thank you so, so much. And again, on behalf of the very talented Jacqueline Marfuji, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you.
Sweet. Thank you. My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a Storyworthy.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.